Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn to the Word of God this morning. Once again, the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read the section beginning of verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17. We'll read through the end of the chapter. This is God's holy word. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. God's holy word. Let's pray again together. Father, our prayer is that you would indeed write this word upon our hearts and so change us and make us more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, as we've looked at this section in the book of Ephesians, we've seen that to live in a manner worthy of our calling, the old life is to be left behind. And I'm to put on the new life in Christ. That life, my life, is now characterized by righteousness and holiness. Christ himself has taught me so. We've seen already, he teaches every one of his children concerning these truths. And I need then to address my own sanctification as my Lord Jesus has taught me to address sanctification. So this is required of me if I'm to live worthy of my calling. We've already seen in verses 22 to 24 that the apostle lays out the broad, we call it the broad pattern of our sanctification. It's in three parts. I want to review those parts briefly, and then we'll move on to four examples he gives to us of working this out, working this pattern out. But first, be reminded of the broad pattern of our sanctification. Even as I launch into this, I have to say again, brothers and sisters, the only reason we can even think to do this, is that an amen? I think it was. The only reason we can even think to do this is because Jesus Christ has already done everything for us. It's built upon that foundation of the perfect work of Christ. So we say that in advance, lest anyone think, by doing these things, that's how I'm saved. No. No. Christ saves us, and now we get to live this out. And it's the only way we could live it out because he saved us and he gives us grace to do so. So that we're clear on that. And we always need to be clear on that. And we always need to bring that point of the gospel whenever we're bringing the imperatives, the commands, right? God in Christ has done everything for me. Now I can, in His grace, I can work this out then. I have the assurance, the encouragement that indeed He works in me. So the pattern, we review it here. I'm to put off the old life and the old ways. The way I formerly lived. The old thoughts, the old patterns of thought and action. Paul has shown us that the old ways of thinking and living all tend toward corruption. So again, an encouragement, an argument to put it all off. It only tends to corruption. If I coddle my flesh, if I coddle the old ways, it only tends toward corruption. We've also seen that the old ways of thinking and living, they're just a tangle of deceptions and sinful desires. And they need to be identified, they need to be called what they are, and they need to be put off. Now, I can't either identify them properly or put them off if I don't have my mind renewed. And that's the second part that he shows to us here. I need to have my mind renewed. We've seen, yes, sanctification centers in the mind. I need to have my thinking renewed. And among other things we said, that means I need to use my mind. I'm not called to set my mind aside when it comes to my sanctification. And it certainly doesn't happen automatically. I need to use the mind that God has given me as He gives me grace to do so. And I need to have, central to my sanctification is having my thinking renewed. Remade. What a wonderful thing. Remade by the Spirit of God. You recall the great premise we called it with respect to our sanctification. It is that apart from Christ, I have never thought rightly and without distortion about a single feature of life. So yes, all of my mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be made new. And of course, God renews our minds by the power of the Spirit of Christ. And through His Word, it's always Word and Spirit. It's never merely raw power, which is to say, He doesn't just zap me. No, the Spirit of God does not work that. I mean, if He zaps somebody, they're dead. The Spirit of Christ, in terms of changing us, uses His Word and brings it to our hearts, to our minds, and He renews our minds. That's how we're changed. And that's one of the reasons we're here this morning. And that's one of the reasons you're listening to the Word preached right now. Because you recognize you need to have your mind renewed. And I recognize it. And as I'm preaching, I'm listening to it. Sure, it too. You can be sure. I'm always preaching first to myself. And then to you. But I'm preaching to you right now. But here's the pattern. Put off the old life. The old ways of thinking. Again, we say I can only identify them properly and I can only know even what it is to put them off. I can only know that as my mind is renewed. So I need to have my mind renewed. Now, thirdly, I'm to put on the new life in Christ, which is to say, I must embrace by faith new patterns of thought and action. Now, again, you see right away, I can't do that apart from the renewal of my mind. Only Christ can show me what these new ways are. Only, and He will. He'll give me understanding. He'll help me to see this. We talked last time, you know, about needing to understand each of us our own native sin, which is to say the unique shape that sin took in our lives across the years. Understanding that, identifying it, and putting it off. That's what Christ calls me to. That's what Christ calls all of us to. And we all know that's the case, as Paul says here. And we're reminded of it again today. So that's those are the broad contours of the pattern of our sanctification. Now, in verses 25 to 29, the apostle brings to us four examples of working that pattern out. As if to say, by the Spirit of God, he says to us, it looks like this. Now, this is how you do this. Here's some examples of identifying the old ways, putting those ways off, having my mind renewed by the Spirit of God, And so putting off those old ways and putting on the new ways in Christ. So the pattern's worked out here by means of four examples. Now I want you to think on this here together with me this morning. In each case here that Paul brings to us, there is described, again, the putting away of an old way of thinking and acting. Secondly, the putting on of righteous thought and behavior. And thirdly, a principle of truth to be embraced according to renewed thinking. We'll identify each of these in the examples that he gives. Now, it's not always on the face of it necessarily apparent here, but I think a part of the reason for that is, again, we're called to use our minds. We're called to engage, which is to say, you got to think about these things. You got to think about the old ways according to the Word of God, and you have to trust the Spirit to help you to identify these things and so put them off and put on the new ways of thinking and action. His first example, what is it? Verse 25. Falsehood is to be replaced with truth. Falsehood is to be replaced with truth. See what he writes, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. So first of all, I'm to put away all lying and falsehood. That's what's to be put away. Now, lying, of course, comes in various forms. Deception, hypocrisy, flattery, hiding the truth, distorting the truth, telling half-truths. Anybody know anything about that? Oh, yes, Pastor. We know all. In our fallen Adam, we're experts at this stuff. So lying comes in various forms. I'm to put away all lying and falsehood. And I'm now called to speak the truth. He quotes here Zechariah 8:16. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That's the new life to which I'm called. It's to speak truth now. And in order to speak the truth, of course, I need to be renewed in my thinking. In order to understand what it means, in order to do it properly, I must be renewed in my thinking. Now here's a principle of truth, which both exposes the fallen, corrupt mindset and communicates the new. Look at it. Here it is, the end of the verse. For we are members of one another. It's as if the Spirit of God through the Apostle is saying, now, think about this, because this is a distinctive feature of having your mind renewed, and it applies directly to putting away lying and falsehood of every sort. So it's a principle of truth which we say both exposes the fallen, corrupt mindset and communicates the new. You put it this way. In other words, the mindset which perpetuates falsehood and lies is the one that says, I will live for myself and get for myself what I want without regard for others. It's the mindset which prefers to live isolated from others, independent of the interests of others. See, I'm speaking of the opposite of what he's expressed here just now. We're members of one another. We're members of one another. Oh, in my flesh, I want to live another way oftentimes. I want to live isolated. I want to live protected. I just want to live to myself. Ever had that sentiment? I know you have. All of us have. So it's that sort of sentiment. It's that sort of mindset. It's the mindset which prefers to live isolated from others, we say, independent of the interests of others. It's the mindset immersed in self-interest and self-protection. So this preference for one's own way and for isolation from others, it's deeply rooted in the heart. It lies in order to secure or to protect its interests. Think about that. That's why people lie. That's why they lie. It's to secure or to protect their interests. And it leaves them isolated. Well, we're to speak the truth. The apostle says, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. We're to speak the truth in love. We're to be entirely truthful at all times. Well, why? Well, here's a new way to think. Here's a part of the renewed mind now. We're members of one another. We're vitally joined in life and covenant. We say the renewed mind embraces this truth and it thinks this way. Which is to say, oh yes, what and how I speak to my brother impacts the whole body of Christ. Again, we're back to the unity of the body, which we saw at the very beginning of this chapter, right? What and how I speak to my brother impacts the whole body of Christ. Think about that. So often we live in this deception that we can sin and it doesn't affect other people. Oh, no. And, of course, the area of speech is a vast area. You'll say more to it in a moment. So we say, what and how I speak to my brother impacts the whole body of Christ. But negatively put, if I neglect to think of myself as vitally joined to my brothers, I will perpetuate living in some form of falsehood. Deception, hypocrisy, flattery, hiding the truth in some measure, distorting the truth, telling half-truths. Paul says by the Spirit of Christ this, think now as one who is vitally joined to your brother. And yes, how I speak to my brother impacts the whole body of Christ. Lying in all of its forms is now to be replaced with truth. And Paul says, by the Spirit of Christ, think about that. Think about that. Embrace a new way of thinking. Now, some here might say, well, boy, you know, Pastor, lying has been I feel like that's my native sin. I feel like I've made a lifetime of hiding things and telling half-truths. Well, here's at least one important feature in terms of being delivered. I need to have my mind renewed. I need to think about how I say impacts my brother or sister in Christ. It always does. Put away lying. Speak truth to your neighbor. Now the apostle brings a second example, and it's this. Anger is to be replaced with what? Trust. Yes, thank you. Found those notes. Anger is to be replaced with trust. I pause there for a moment because we might not always think that that's what you replace anger with, but the apostle, I think, makes that clear here. He writes, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So I'm to put off anger, or perhaps more precisely here as he puts it, I am to control anger so that it does not eventuate in sin. Be angry and do not sin. He's quoting here from Psalm 4. Be angry and do not sin. Now certainly that means I'm to deal with anger promptly, doesn't it? And at the very least, that means I'm to keep short accounts. But I need to be renewed in my thinking. And what's the principle? What's the new principle of truth, which is to operate in my thinking? Now, it's contained in the quotation here from Psalm 4, verse 4, and really its immediate context. And as I alluded to this earlier, the apostle doesn't do all the work for us here. He directs us to the psalm as if to say, think there. Listen to Psalm 4. This little section, Psalm 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So here are the principles of truth to which he directs our attention. Trust in the Lord. Meditate upon your bed and be still, which is to say, meditate on your bed and be at peace. What's he saying? How am I to control anger so that it does not lead to sin? Be careful to cultivate peace of heart before your Lord at all times. Yes. Bring the matter to the Lord. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Commune with your Lord. Commune with him with respect to that matter which gives rise to anger. This is precisely the thing we don't do when we give way to anger. It's precisely the thing we don't do. He says, commune with Christ with respect to that matter which gives rise to anger. And don't allow your communion with him to be disturbed. That's the first and great priority. Don't allow your communion with Christ to be disturbed. So you bring that thing which causes you anger, you bring it to him. You hold it before him. Don't allow your communion with Christ to be disturbed. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, the apostle writes, nor give place to the devil. Think in a new way about this. Think in a new way about anger. Here's the renewed mind. Here's how I'm to think. Anger is the enemy's opportunity, and I must deal with it very carefully. And the only way I can properly deal with it is to bring it before my Lord and to maintain constant communion with him. He says, meditate upon your bed and be still. Be at peace. Very good question. A very good point, isn't it? When I wrestle with that particular, am I at peace in my heart with Christ right now? Very good question. Want a renewed mind? That's the way I need to live. Live before Christ. Bring it to him. Keep it before him. Don't let anything disturb your peace in Christ. You see, there really isn't any event in life that should disturb my peace in Christ. Think about our Lord Jesus and how he walked with the Father. And he had many, 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 many things come against him, did he not? There he is. We see in him that one who was always at peace, always maintaining his communion with the Father, always bringing those matters which would come against him, always bringing those matters to his Father, communing with his Father with respect to those things. Here's the new mind. Cultivate your communion with Christ. That should be the priority. Anger is the enemy's opportunity. To leave it unaddressed gives place to the devil. Yes, Paul says, by the Spirit of Christ, anger is to be replaced with trust. Trust in God. Rest in him. Third example. Verse 27. Again, the apostle could have given us a lot of examples here, couldn't he? He hasn't given us an example of every category of sin, has he? And because he hasn't given us an example of every category of sin, it's as if the Spirit of Christ is saying to us, work it out. Work it out. You got to work these things out. Theft is to be replaced with righteous labor and generosity. Verse 27, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. I'm to put off stealing, of which there are many forms, aren't there? So maybe it helps to step back as we think about this particular, this example. Step back. What is the fallen mindset that makes one bold enough to steal? Well, it's at least this, a mindset of laziness. Or we could say a mindset of selfishness. and wanting to be served, of gaining by others' expense and labor. That's the heart of theft. Gaining by others' expense and labor, of having our needs catered to by others. Now, I'm to labor diligently as unto the Lord. Paul says, let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And I need to be renewed in my thinking. And what is the new principle of truth which is to operate in my thinking? Well, I need to think about work in a new way. I need a theology of work. And of course, that theology is found in the scriptures. What's the counterpart of laziness? Now, the mindset that wishes to be served, to sit on its hindquarters while others labor and provide. What's the counterpart? It's learning the godly value and calling of good hard work. Creation mandate here hadn't ceased. In other words, I must learn to labor as unto the Lord. Paul says, let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So labor as unto the Lord. I need to learn to labor as unto the Lord. And I must learn the blessedness of giving to the needs of others. The happiness connected with giving to the needs of others. I mentioned to a few, you know, that when Josiah received this bike, you know, from the bike club up there. He gave him this beautiful new bike, very expensive thing, and presented it to him. And I think I mentioned it to a few people, like, you know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You can bet those folks who gave him that bike felt, wow, what a blessing they had. Now, he was thrilled with his bike, right? But what a blessing to give to others. I think that's a part of the blessing we experienced yesterday, and we do each year in that setting when we go to the nursing home and we sing. What are we doing? Well, we're seeking to share the love of Christ. We're giving, right? And it's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? Well, the Apostle Paul says, by the Spirit of God, here's a part of the new mindset we need to be kept from the various forms of theft, right? The heart of which is selfishness and laziness. I need to learn the godly value and calling of good hard work. Yes, I must labor as unto the Lord. I must learn the blessedness of giving to the needs of others. Now, an additional note here with respect to raising our children. If we don't teach our children to work hard, this is just a free application just now, okay? If we don't teach our children to work hard as a calling, as unto the Lord, and to unselfishly provide for the needs of others, that begins with contributing to the needs of the family, doesn't it? A lot of work to do around the house, isn't there? Ladies, you've noticed this in particular. There's a lot of work to do, isn't there? There's plenty of work to do. Well, plenty of opportunity to put the children to work, right? Now, my children might say, I was an expert at this, you know. Plenty of opportunity. But we say if we don't teach our children to work hard, we'll teach them to steal. Now, maybe not in the shoplifting, bank robbing, tax evasion variety. But certainly they will learn to expect life to be handed to them on a platter. And they will expect to be served while others labor. What's that called? Theft. That's theft. I want to be served. I want others to labor for me. Well, here's a new way to think. We say it requires a new theology of work, a theology of labor, doesn't it? It requires learning the blessedness of giving to others. And well, we don't learn that naturally, do we? It takes all the Spirit of Christ to help us in these things. But a wonderful blessing as we learn them. So the Apostle admonishes us, put off every form of theft. Put on a heart which labors diligently as unto the Lord. Be renewed. Now, learn to think righteously about labor and wealth, and how it may be used to serve Christ's glory and the purposes of the kingdom. Learn to not think merely on your own things, but on the needs of others. Fourth example, very quickly, this one. Destructive speech replaced with edifying, gracious speech. Wow, it's a vast area of speech, isn't it? Wow, what a big area we've just come on to here. Paul writes, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." So I'm to put away all corrupt speech. The idea here is rotten, putrid speech. I'm to put it off. I'm to put on speech which edifies. I'm to be renewed in my thinking. And here's an entirely new way to think about the vast area of speech. Paul says, in effect, here, think of what an instrument of good your words can be. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but is what is good for necessary edification. Think of what an instrument of good for good your words can be. Think of what an instrument of edification your words can be. Again, very important, at least for this, when we think about an area like this, sometimes we'll say, you know, well, I don't have many ways to serve the Lord. I don't feel like I have many ways to serve Christ. I have opportunity to serve Christ every day in what I speak. All the time in what I speak. An instrument for edification. That's how Paul speaks of it here. Think about your speech now as an instrument of edification. Think about your speech. Think about the power of speech as an instrument of grace. That's how he puts it. What is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's very powerful. You can minister grace every time you speak. Maybe not giving somebody a phone number or something. But if you're helping them, yes. Yes. I think that's what the apostle says to us here, in effect. It's consider carefully the power of speech as an instrument of grace. I can impart grace every time I speak. An instrument of Christ. How I speak. What I say. Again, say, well, Pastor, man, that's a big area. All of our speech. Wow. So don't ever say there's no way to serve Christ, among other arguments here. Don't ever say you don't have any way to serve Christ. Every time I walk up to my brother, I'm either serving Christ or I'm not serving Christ. Every time I open my mouth, but think on the positive here, a wonderful instrument of grace. So think about that. Get up in the morning. Lord, make me an instrument of your grace. Help me to form my words today. Whatever I'm saying to people, help me with this. I have an opportunity to minister grace to those to whom I speak. I have an opportunity to build up. Very powerful. Destructive speech replaced with edifying, gracious speech. Brothers and sisters, every day we're to be about this business of putting off, putting on, having our minds renewed. Identifying the old ways, the old patterns, and putting them off, having my thinking made new, embracing by faith an entirely new way of thinking. I need to work it out. And Christ gives me grace to work it out. So as we close, we ask the question, are you, maybe think about the past week, have you been identifying the old ways of life, putting them off, seeking to have your mind renewed? Are you engaged? Have you been engaged in such applications of the truth as are laid before us here? This is what we're to be about. This is what we're to be about. Reckoning with the old ways, putting them off, thinking in a new way, putting on the new life in Christ. And this is our great privilege. Day by day, more and more, from one degree of glory to another, to be made more and more like Christ. That's our privilege. You get to be made more like Christ every day. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Oh, but Pastor, I feel like the process is so slow. Yes, it is. It's slow, but sure. It's slow, but sure. And it never reverses. It does not reverse. Let's pray. Father, help us to, by your grace, put off the old, put on the new, have our minds renewed, and so make us, we pray, more and more like our Savior. We ask it in His name. Amen.